Good morning. Welcome everyone here. We have a much better or larger crowd here in person, which is great. And we welcome all those tuning in and worshiping with us from home or wherever you are. And glad that you are with us. I want to start out with a question. What does it mean to be a Christian? If someone asked you, someone who was not a Christian, and they were somewhat unfamiliar with Christianity, didn't really, you know, understand it or know about it, and they knew you were a Christian, and so they asked you, what does it mean to be a Christian? In really brief statements, you know, I want you to think how you would respond to them, what you might say. In a nutshell, it means to follow God, to follow Christ, to follow the Holy Spirit. We are followers of Christ specifically. It's our specific example, Christians. And of course, Christ showed us what God is, and Christ is God. It means we worship together. We worship God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It means we avoid sin. We avoid Satan. A real brief scripture that summarizes what does it mean to be a Christian is James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In this world, we have good and evil, and we have deity, we have supernatural good and evil, and that's God and Satan. They're supernatural, God is deity. And in a nutshell, we say yes to God, we say no to Satan. But when we say yes to God, it's not just it's more than saying yes, because it's saying no to ourselves. It involves submission. And that's the word of today's lesson, is submission. What is submission? Why submit? But our walk with God is about submission. Let's look at John 12:48, that we get a glimpse into Jesus and how he walked. We're supposed to follow Jesus. In John 12:48, Jesus said, "The one who rejects me does not receive my words, has a judge. The word that I've spoken will judge him on the last day, for I've not spoken on my own authority. But the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." One phrase here in verse 50, that his commandment is eternal life. Eternal life. Everyone wants heaven. I've not met someone who believed in the afterlife that didn't want to go to heaven. No one wants to go to hell. Everyone wants to sign up for heaven. And at funerals, I've not had a funeral for someone that the family didn't think they were in heaven. And so the way we practice as a society is everyone's going to heaven. But my point is, everyone who believes in the afterlife wants heaven, but what did Jesus say about eternal life? His commandment. Commandment. Submission. Everyone wants heaven, but they don't. How many few want to submit to God? But Jesus, we see here that Jesus didn't speak what he thought. And remember, Jesus was at the creation. Jesus is God. Jesus is eternal. But he didn't speak his own thoughts. He only spoke what God told him to. John 14:31, "I do as the Father has commanded me." That's submission. "So that the world may know that I love the Father." Even Jesus submitted. And you wonder, I ask the question, did Jesus want to say things? Did he want to do things that he didn't do? You think Jesus ever wanted to do something, but he surrendered to God and did and followed God? And in a word, that's temptation. Of course he did. Of course he had temptations. Of course he wanted to sin. Wanted to sin with what he said, wanted to sin with what he did. Of course he was tempted. I don't mean he really wanted to deeply, but he was in the flesh, so his flesh wanted to. But he didn't. In Luke 22, 42, the one time that we have scripture that says Jesus wanted to do one thing, but God wanted to do another. That's Luke 22:42. When he's in the garden, this is before the cross. Jesus knows his mission is to die on the cross, but his flesh does not want to. Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. This is the one time that we have Jesus, recorded wanting to go a different way. We sang a song, If That Isn't Love. The cross, you and I understand what happened on the cross. That was love. And I think we would agree the most beautiful thing in all of human history is Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of man. Has there been any greater expression of love? Has there been any more beautiful thing? I'm not saying it was a beautiful sight because it was a horrific sight, but what was happening was beautiful. And what was happening was submission. Submission. So when we read about Jesus submitting, it's beautiful. What about when we submit? Titus 3:1 says, this is Paul writing to Titus, who's a preacher, telling him to remind God's people, remind the Christians, to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Submission. We have a neighbor where we live, and our neighbor has two German shepherds. And one is male, one's female, so King and Queen. And King is the larger of the two German shepherds. He's good size. King is gentle by nature. And so they'll bark some, but the barking is really Queen. She is more protective, she's more territorial, she's less social, with dogs, I have a natural fear of dogs because when dogs bark, I feel like they're telling me something. I feel like if a dog barks at me, I feel like it's telling me, I will bite you, and I don't want that. So now, Stephanie and the girls, when they hear a dog barking, they hear a dog talking. The dog's talking, saying, hi there, friendly. When a dog barks, it's not friendly to me. Anyway, Queen, so you picture this German shepherd, and she barks. She sounds like a German shepherd barking. And so we had a time when we introduced our little Leon, little Yorkshire Terrier, to King and Queen on the front porch, and Queen barked, and Queen was kind of aggressive. She didn't bite him, she didn't go to attack him, but she was barking a little bit, and so the neighbor, the owner, Carter, he'll kind of talk to her, and then eventually, if he really wants her to quit, he'll speak loud, Queen, that's enough, cut it out, and she'll stop. She'll stop. She will obey. She will submit. It doesn't mean she's weak. She hasn't lost any of her weakness, any of her strength. She hasn't become weak or more weak. She's become obedient. When a soldier is told to stand down, the soldier doesn't become weak. The soldier becomes obedient, submissive. And when Jesus died on the cross for us, he wasn't weak. He was strong. He was submissive. He was obedient. This last part here, perfect courtesy, the New American Standard says, it translates that, showing every consideration for. NIV 84 says, showing true humility toward. King James says, showing all meekness unto. Meekness. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. As Christians, we should be meek. That means submissive. It means obedient. Holman says, showing gentleness to. I was watching a OU basketball game yesterday. They played Baylor, and they lost. No feedback needed. But at one point in the game, the refs make this horrible call. I say horrible because it went against my team. So naturally, I think what really happened was the other way. When you watch sports, you feel that way. I don't know that it was a horrible call. But it was against my team. And so I didn't think a whole lot about it. But next thing I know, I hear the crowd chanting. Refs, you, and then you can fill in the blank. They chanted that. And then a little bit later, they reviewed part of that call and ruled against the home team, and the crowd chants even more. That's not courtesy. That's not courtesy. That's not humility. That's not submitting. That's not obedient. And as Christians, we are to act different. That's how the world acts. That's how the world does. The world shows rudeness. And you see that in all aspects of our world, all aspects of life. Rudeness. That's not Christ-like. Christ didn't do that. And we are not to do that. Now, notice this says perfect courtesy toward what people? All people. That means the nice ones, and that means the rude ones. Some people can be really rude, really mean, really hurtful. They can belittle us. They can treat us wrong. But let's keep reading. Verse 3 says, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. By the way, people outside of Christ or who are not religious, they're living their own life. They feel like they're doing things their own way. They're really just slaves to Satan's way. They're just slaves to sin. Satan entices us to do things that a part of us wants to do. But let's read on. Passing our days in malice, envy, hated by others, and hating one another. Do we see that? Do we see that in people? Hating each other, being hated, arguing over things. And Paul says, we submit, and in submitting to people, all people, okay, we're submissive to authority, people in authority. When we do it, we remember we used to act that way. If someone in authority is rude or unkind or not courteous, haven't you done that? Haven't you, at your worst, been a jerk? Turn to your neighbor and say, you could be a jerk sometimes. Or at the very least, you have been. So when we feel like, you know, we can retaliate, you know, there's this common feeling of, I'll show respect if you deserve respect. I'll respect you when you respect me, some of that kind of stuff. That's not Christianity. We used to be that way. The other day, I'm driving on a 2-lane road, and the driver in front of me is going somewhat slow, and so I passed them. And I didn't do it in an aggressive manner. I just went around them. This is my version of the story. We're not interviewing them. So I went around them. I didn't think I was being aggressive or rude. I go around them, drive a little further. I come upon some other vehicles that are driving slower. And next thing I know, that car I pass is behind me now. And they turn their brights on. The brights were not on, then they were on. You hear what I'm saying? Hear me now? And it's not even dark. It's daytime. Right? And it wasn't the police. Yeah. The lights weren't moving. And so I thought, huh, that's Interesting. Why? That's a very small thing, granted, but that was just, you know, recent. People are going to be people. They're going to act in ways they want to act. And sometimes people are going to be rude. And oftentimes when people are rude, it's not even about you. They're not really mad at you. They have other things in their life that has built a fire of anger in them. You just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But we used to be that way. Verse 4, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us because of work, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's baptism and indwelling Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 2:38. Whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. As a Christian, you've experienced Jesus, His mercy, His grace. Verse 7, justified by His grace. The word justified, I've heard it explained this way. It means justified, never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. God has justified you, and through the blood of Jesus, if you're a Christian, He has cleansed you, made you righteous, made you as if you had not sinned, just as holy, just as pure, forgiven. How many sins has God forgiven you of? How long is that list? What? Too long. What does the ugliest part of your sinful past look like? And God showed us mercy. So when God teaches us to be submissive and courteous to rude people, in particular people in authority, He tells us, remember, you used to be that way. And then He tells us, and by the way, don't forget how much mercy I've had on you. How much mercy has God had on us? So let's go to 1 Peter 2. We're not talking about one passage in Scripture that talks about being submissive. We're talking about many. 1 Peter 2:13. Be subject for the Lord's sake. So be subject is another way of saying be submissive. And Peter here says, if you struggle with this and you struggle with this, remember why. The why is for God. You do it for God. I didn't brake check the person who bribed me. Partly because it didn't bother me that much. Not saying I've never brake checked someone in the past. I'm saying I know I should not retaliate. And I don't make a practice of it, and I don't want to. And I don't remember the last time I did, but I have. I understand that. But we don't retaliate, and we show kindness out of respect for God, for what God's done for us, for the Lord's sake. To every human institution, whether it be to the emperors as supreme or to governors, sent by Him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every, what does it say? What's the next word? Human institution. In that institution is a human. The emperor is a human. The governors are humans. They're in authority. We're to be subject to them. The difficulty of that is the human part. Humans don't always act good, don't do right. Most don't. They do what they want to do, and if they have power, they abuse the power. Oftentimes that happens. And there are many in authority who are good, godly, even may not follow God, but still made in His image and try to do what's right. But we are to be subject. Verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So this is more of the why that we submit. We submit out of the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake, and then now we submit because we don't, the church already has enough accusations. Christianity already has enough darts thrown at it. And so we're trying to silence accusations because we're trying to win the world. You can't win the lost by acting like the lost. And so that's another reason. But notice this phrase, the will of God. People, you know, you hear people talking about the Lord's will. You know, I mean, I'm wanting to know what God wills for me. And oftentimes what they mean by that is, what good thing is God trying to give me? Good material thing. You know what I mean? We can kind of get headed down the wrong road. But to desire to understand the will of God is right and true. And many people make that harder than it is, or some mystery. It's not a mystery. Scripture gives it to us from cover to cover. What's God's will? Obey Him. What does God want us to do? Regarding authority, He wants us to submit. That's the will of God. Verse 16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Submission. Honor everyone. There again, you know, we have a problem. I mean, it's fine to honor those who honor you. Love your brother. Love your sister. No, this is honor everyone. Love the brotherhood, yes. Fear God, yes. Honor the emperor. Hold on a minute. This is a Roman emperor. Not a godly man. Not a godly ruler. Honor the emperor. Of course, emperor, you know, same thing as a king in our society and in our nation. It's our president, although that power is limited compared to an emperor. Biden is your president. Trump was your president. Stay with me. Hold your comments to the end. In the foyer. Obama was your president. Bush was your president. Clinton was your president. How far do we want to go? Abraham Lincoln. Steve, do you remember Abraham Lincoln? Too far? They've all been our presidents. And that doesn't mean you like them. And honestly, we're divided. So have you noticed those presidents flip back and forth, Republican, Democrat a lot? Anyway, it's amazing how you feel toward a political party and a person, whoever that party's person is. Point is, those men have all been our presidents. It doesn't mean we like them. It doesn't mean we agreed with them. It doesn't mean we thought they did a good job. It doesn't mean we thought they were godly. It means you honor them. Not because they deserve it. You do it because God asked you to. That's it. We don't have to talk condescendingly about a president to not agree with them. You can speak factually about how you disagree with a president or a ruler or a king or an emperor. You can still show honor. You show honor to the office. And you show honor to the person. Doesn't mean they're a good person. We do it out of respect for God. And so I'm not saying be silent about ways that they're leading, you know, that are poorly. I'm not saying be silent. I'm saying show honor. Talk respectfully. Can we not talk respectfully about someone we disagree with? And we do it because God told us to. Out of submission to God, we do things that they... You know, that's what submission and servitude, surrender, all these words, be subject. That's what those words mean. It doesn't mean it feels good. It doesn't feel good. Not to the flesh. but to the Spirit we do it for God. Verse 18. Now, Peter talks about servants being subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but to the unjust. A good application for us of this regarding servants and masters is in the workplace. Have you ever had a boss that was not a good boss? That was rude, discriminatory, prideful, egotistical, arrogant. You know, took they had problems, but they took it out on you. I didn't see Linda nod her head one time, by the way. Not one time in all of that. That's good, Linda. What does an unjust boss look like? It's not a pretty picture. But God says, show them respect. Be subject to them. And then look at this, verse 19. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. What credit is it if when you sin, you're beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. It's a gracious thing. It's a beautiful thing. Submitting is a beautiful thing to God. It's not a beautiful thing to us. It's very un-American. And it goes against our human nature. But to God it is very beautiful. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. When you became a Christian, this is what you signed up for, to follow and surrender to God. And this scripture tells us, look at what Jesus did. He gave us a great example. And then at the end of this, at the end of verse 23, Jesus didn't feel like he had to defend himself, but he left the defending, he left the judging to the one who judges justly. When you have someone mistreating you, and you're trying to surrender to them, to submit to them, and you're trying to be courteous to them, and you're trying to do what Christ would have you do, and you think, well, they're going to get by with this. They're going to get away with this. They shouldn't get away with this. And the reality is, people don't get away with sin. No one gets away with sin. Everyone will answer before God Almighty. And if God doesn't deal with them in this life, he will deal with them in the next life. But God is the one who judges. And it can give you some comfort to know, you know what? This person, they have treated others so wrongly. It can give you some comfort to know, God, you are their judge. And I don't mean wishing evil on them. I mean letting God handle that. It's so tempting for us to want to do it. Submitting to God is a beautiful thing. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. But I want you to think, I want to ask you, in what ways do you submit to God? In what ways do you submit to God? Do you submit to God in how you talk, in how you act, in how you present yourself, in what you watch, in what you listen to, in how you spend your money or how you spend your time? How do we submit ourselves to God? We're going to sing a song. And if you have a need that we could help you with, we'd love for you to come. We'd love to stop and lift up someone in prayer. If you've never given your life to Christ, never surrendered, never had your sins washed away in baptism, we'd love to help with that if you'd come while we stand and sing.